Hey everybody, thank you for tuning in. This is the fifth episode of In Conversation with Oshwin, season two. I had Janani SV on this episode, and she's amazing for a singer as well as a writer. She works in ads, she has a phenomenal voice, and so we dig into her journey of singing as a side hustle. In fact, it's more than a side hustle. She does voiceovers for big brands. She's sung in more than a couple of movies. She's done some independent tracks that have had 10 million views. And she shares some really cool insights about her singing journey, some tips for aspiring singers, as well as her creativity and how that works it up in her ad job. So take a listen. I hope you enjoy listening to it. Another thing I wanted to mention was that we recorded this in my Chennai house, in my study. It felt like a very full circle moment because when I started podcasting, I would invite guests over and record in person. And 7 years later, I felt really nice to do it in the same place. Hello, listeners, and welcome to In Conversation with Oshwin. Today, I have Janani with me. Janani is an old friend of mine. We really did not keep in touch for years together. We knew off each other and it remained so. I think I know more about you now than I ever did now.
Collectively.
Literally, we just got coffee and got caught up on each other's lives. Janani, first question I ask everyone on the pod, tell us a little about your early childhood and how that's influenced the person you've become.
Okay, so I grew up in a joint family, and I think there have been times when it felt like I was on a Big Boss set even before Big Boss was a thing. So many personalities, there's no dearth of drama, of course. But I think I've picked up the best qualities from each of them. And that kind of shaped me into the person that I am. And I think I have like two amazing parents who have always given me the freedom to pursue whatever I want. They wanted me to be as academic as I wanted to be, as artsy I wanted to be. In the conversation that we'll get into also, that will probably show that, you know, the reason why I've been able to dabble into a lot of things is because of what they let me do. If I could say it in like one word, my entire early childhood felt like a season of summer. Like it was just fun, it was just laid back and absolutely like nothing holding me back. And that's pretty much how I'd sum it up.
Yeah, you have to reference accounting tuition, not to Sir here, because you know, shout out to him if he's listening, which would not be, and I don't think in the rarest of events he's listening to this, but that's where Journey and I met in accounting class in school in 11th grade or high school, if you want to call it that. And since then, what have you been up to? I know you're working at an ad agency now, and I know you love your music. Like, how did the two coexist? When did you find your musical passion?
So after, I think, accountancy, the most normal trajectory was getting into BCom, because I thought that would just give me the most stable career. If all else fails, I would at least have a banking job, was my opinion. But the events that happened after that were, you know, kind of just in my head that, okay, I do not want a banking job. And although I did work in a bank for about a year, it's pretty much in college when I got into a lot of cultural events. Mm-hmm. And I saw a lot of stages where I could perform and where I could sing. Two of the main stages that I got were actually two voice hunts conducted by two radio channels. And that's when a lot of judges who were actually musicians and music composers kind of picked up upon my talent, and that kind of acted as a springboard to get into music.
So are you saying you didn't know that you were great at singing until someone said you were great at it?
I didn't know that I could sing quite well, because I was this, it was just like this household voice. Whenever there used to be a function, like a family function, I know there'd be someone calling out to my name, and whenever a Carnatic track had to be sung. And I used to hate it back then, because it was just like I was some showpiece that, you know, that would just appear when someone had to sing something. There was always a part of me in school, actually throughout school, that used to think, but I'm not getting the platform in school, so I hope sometime in the future I will get a platform. And that thankfully happened in college. Mm-hmm. So it's not like I didn't know that I could sing. I was just waiting for a platform where it could be showcased in the manner that I wanted it to be.
And did you take classes at all when you grew up?
Yes, I did. One of the best things that my parents did for me was enroll me in Carnatic music classes. I think I was in third standard or fourth standard up till eighth or ninth even.
And did you like going for these classes?
No, I didn't. It felt like I was being forced to learn all of this. But in retrospect, I'm glad that I did, because I think that serves as the most solid foundation that you can have for any kind of singing.
Love that. And what's your tip to people who want to sing? Should they get to classical before they get to anything else? And are the classical Carnatic classes still a thing today in the city? Are there teachers that teach it?
Any form of classical music, whether it's Carnatic classical, Hindustani classical, or even Western music, whichever your voice thinks or whichever you feel that your voice suits best for, I think you should train for it. There are vocal coaches in all of these fields for sure. I don't think that's something that'll ever go out of fashion or will fade away from society. Getting your basics right and getting formal training is the most important thing that you should do.
Understood. And do you have a coach even today that you go back to and try to improve your chords with or something?
No, I don't really. I haven't really pursued my Carnatic music, although I intend to get back to it because I've stayed out of touch with it enough time. Although I do my riyas and I do my practice whenever I can at home. So that's how I stay in touch. But with respect to chords and music production, that's something that I explore on my own. Vocal coaches-wise, I'm definitely going to go back to probably my own guru. Mm-hmm. Or I'm on the hunt for more gurus to go to also.
Tell us a little about your job at Ogilvy. And then you've also worked at Lintas before. So 7 years in advertisement. How has that been in your creative writing journey?
So my mom was also a copywriter for a brief while before she had gotten married. And I think the seed for this writing, creative, advertising copy was put into me by her, because she always used to keep saying, you know, in my time, this used to be a good ad. I've written this and it was so much fun and all of that. So I think it started there. But then I was also, from the time I can remember, I have been a huge fan of Amul ads, right? That kind of talk for a brand, but in a very fun manner, because they use a lot of wordplay, which I can proudly say without any, you know, even an ounce of shame, that it's my forte. So puns and wordplay, I started thinking, okay, what would be the perfect space in which my wordplays can kind of shine on a platform? And advertising was one of the most obvious answers that came to my mind. I'm not saying that's the only thing that led me to advertising, but it was something it was always something that I wanted to explore. And even in school, I used to do all of these things of, like, you know, I used to do a parody version of songwriting, in a sense that there used to be existing tracks. I'll put my own funny lyrics to it and always have like a bunch of friends laughing to it. And in retrospect, I'm thinking that maybe that was also some kind of a thing that led me to writing in a way. So, yeah.
Very often we find our strengths in very casual settings.
Correct.
And then because that's where you feel safe to explore.
Yeah.
And same with me. I was always into debating at school or doing something for cultural events that made me want a podcast later. Although this is not like a serious profession thing for me, it still is giving me a lot of joy. And I feel like I do want to hone the skill of interviewing that I picked up just in school at a low stakes setting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how much has Chennai had an influence on the singing journey that you've had?
You can take me out of Chennai, but you can't take the city out of me, right? I think that holds very, very true, because most of my childhood has been shaped by Chennai. The friends I've had, some of my best friends are still in Chennai or from Chennai. And Chennai has an amazing music scene with respect to Carnatic music and even film music. So even the recordings that I've done are primarily here. It's big on the movies, which I'm a huge, huge fan of as well. And the food, I think I can keep going on.
Let's dig into the movies bit. Do you like direction specifically, or do you like the interplay of music within it, or both?
As like anyone would be in Chennai, I was exposed to the movies right from when I was a kid. And a very fond memory was, I used to finish my keyboard class in school, and my mom would be waiting for like a snack that I can have at school itself, because it all had to be like hurried up and everything, because there was a 6 p.m. show waiting for the entire family to happen, right? So that used to be my most fondest memory of going to the movies. And I think after about 8th or 9th standard, whenever I used to watch the movies in the theater, it used to be a dream for me to have my voice blaring in those speakers for a lot of people to listen to. I think that has been a dream that I didn't really recognize was a dream in 8th and 9th standard. But as I just kept watching more and more movies, I realized that, you know what, this is what I want to see happening. So I think that way also movies have played a very, very important role in my life.
I don't know. I didn't have goosebumps when you said that, but the way you said it, it made me feel like you so believe in that. That's your will fuel, more power to you. I love that. I love that spirit. Yeah, sorry, keep going.
Yeah, thanks. But that's exactly the feeling, right? Like, I'm sure even I would have had, like, my goosebumps just there if I had listened to, or whenever I listened to, which did happen a couple of times, in fact, because I have gotten to sing in the movies. I have listened to my own voice in the theater, and it'll never underwhelm you. It'll always overwhelm you, and that's a feeling that I hope to continue keep having in my life.
That's so powerful. Which music recently did you release that played in the theater?
I don't think it's recent, but there was this Dulquer Salman film called Kannum Kannum Kulai Adithal. I've sung two tracks in it. One of the favorite parts of it is my track comes right before the interval block breaks. It's a pivotal point, the interval block. So the entire audience also erupted with a roar during that interval block. I just like to think that it's for my song and not for the interval block.
Go.
It was actually an interesting track because it starts with like a Carnatic kind of an influenced humming. But then that just goes and picks up pace and becomes like super high energy. And then the interval block comes in. So it's a fun track. Yeah.
You said Satyam specifically is a band that you love. And it's obviously the place we all as kids in Chennai went to movies and even till date. Satyam, for those of you who don't know, is the company that ran the cinemas in Chennai for the longest time. And they're now bought by PVR. So they go by PVR, but really, Satyam is an emotion for people that watch movies here, right? And what do you love about Satyam?
When I mentioned that I've grown up watching the movies, it's invariably been watching the movies at Satyam Cinemas. So I was just really fond of course, their popcorn and the flavors that come with it. So I was just fond of Satyam as a brand because it had like such a strong connection to my childhood. And one fine day, I decided to, you know, randomly just put a tweet to them. Yeah. So I just tweeted to them asking I'd like to intern at Satyam Cinemas because I really love you guys as a brand and you are an emotion, not just a brand, just like what you said. And they actually just replied saying, for sure, come to our office and meet us the next day. And I was like, oh, it was that easy to come and intern at Satyam Cinemas. And I did get to intern in the marketing department at Satyam Cinemas. Even the people that worked there, the culture that was there work-wise, they give free lunch to whoever walks into their offices and all of that. As a policy, as a brand, inside out, they felt like such a warm brand. And till day, I'm sure, you know, they continue to be that. And the best part was whenever I was interning over there, all employees, and because I was an intern who used to stick to most of the employees in the team, you used to get 50% off on all their like F&B items. And I was like, you know what? I couldn't have chosen a better place to intern at. I did a lot of good work in their marketing department. It was fun as to how, you know, Satyam can also expand communication-wise as a pan-India kind of an appeal brand. I did do a lot of work for them, so it was fun.
With the music journey, what have been your top 3 highlights?
All of the singing that I do for movies, Club Together is possibly just one highlight, I'd say, because singing for movies by itself is an experience. And each movie and each re-recording, in fact, it's not just tracks that I've sung for, it's actually some whole movie background scores that I've sung as part of a chorus, like a bigger chorus session. And it's just a learning experience, and it's fun because every music director is different from the other and every movie is different from the other, right? So the kind of skills that you'll have to bring for one movie might be like operatic, for example, and the other one might be just a nice classical, Carnatic classical melody. Right, so it's been fun. That collectively is a high point, I'd say. I think the second high point would actually be singing for independent tracks. Like, for example, Kannil Marai. I think that has to be mentioned as one of my highest points because that is a track that I'd sung with Sid Sriram, the singer. And it is composed by this person who's a dear friend called B. Prasanna, right? It was a track that blew my mind the moment I went in for the recording, I came out and I was like, what was that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that has to be one of the highest points because it's such a loved track till date.
And I remember this during the rounds. I'm definitely sure this one's what got me, like, oh my God, your voice is insane.
Yeah, and I think it was also a very interesting use of my voice where I didn't have to try too hard for my voice to sound like anything or anyone or fit into a particular scale. It felt like the track was seamlessly made for the range of my voice. And I think that's also why it worked the best. And that has to be mentioned as one of the high points. That's the second. The third, I'll split it into two. I'll just make it three and four. The third high point, I think, is I love performing on stage.
Not as much.
Yeah.
You just look like you draw a lot of energy as a performer too.
Although I think my nervousness is at its peak when I perform. But also, I think it's kind of offset by the energy that the crowd brings in. That first applause is all you need for you to get into that space and say, okay, now I own this place. I think that has to be my third high point. And the fourth, I'd like to believe that it's yet to come.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Just going back to the independent track, the Kanilwari.
Kanilwari, yeah.
What does that word mean? I know Mara means rain.
It means that the rain in your eyes.
The rain in your eyes.
Yeah.
And why was that specific? Like Sid Sriram, obviously he's a big name in the industry. How did that come about? How did you get the opportunity? And could run us through what the recording looked like in terms of duration, effort, pre-prod, post-prod?
I think it was such a... it was very memorable, yet... It felt fleeting at the same time because now I'm just thinking back on it. It wasn't, you obviously don't set out into making a track. I'm sure even the composer would agree that you don't set out thinking that this is going to break records. This is going to top all of the lists that there are. And this is going to ace it in music production as well. But we just stepped into the track as another track that I'd be singing. And I would like to bring my best to every track that I record. So, which is what I did in that track as well. Mm-hmm. And the composer also said that, it's you just need to feel the lyrics like other composers would say also. But I think bring in what you think is also right for the track. Vocal texture wise, just through way of your voice. And don't try too hard. Feel the emotions in the lyrics. And see how best you can express it through the range of your voice. Not try too hard, but at the same time, don't underplay it as well. And I think that just worked really well for the track. After it was mastered, mixed and mastered, when I listened to the final output was when you realize that, whoa, this track is actually big. The scale of it is big. And I don't mean video-wise, right? And at that time, I hadn't really put visuals to mind for the track, but just... It felt like such a magnum opus of a track by itself. And we were all just pleasantly surprised, when it came out that, whoa, okay, it's turned out to what it actually be. And it's absolutely worth it.
What's the listens, that it's had? Do you know the number?
Double-digit millions.
Wow. As a performer, you said your nervousness is also high, but then you take the energy from the crowd and that feels like you won the... Once you get to a point where you feel like you won the space, you're good.
Mm-hmm.
How often and how easily does that happen? Have you, every time that you've performed, felt like you've owned the space, or has it gone south in some situations?
It definitely has gone south in some situations. Like, there was this particular gig that I was performing in Bangalore. I should have known better that it was the cold season in Bangalore, winter season, if I'm not wrong, and we were performing at an open-air venue. I didn't have any jacket on. I had a terrible cold. In some of the songs, I actually couldn't hear myself because my ears were blocked. So I was like, at this point, it's just up to what I'm singing. You just listen to whatever I'm singing because I can't listen to it. So yeah, I'm sure it wasn't too bad, but I'm sure it was not the best.
I know you also do voiceovers. How did that come about? And do you still actively pursue those gigs?
So with respect to voiceovers, it was actually just something that I... chanced upon as an ability that I had. It wasn't really planned, or I didn't really know that I could do it until I actually did it. I have a vague memory of how it possibly could have started. I think this was the first time when I did a voiceover without even knowing that it was a voiceover.
So I was recording a jingle, an ad jingle for two musician friends of mine. And they needed a placeholder voiceover at the end of the jingle so that it can be sent as a, you know, a comprehensive track for the client to preview and, you know, approve or disapprove or make changes or whatever. So it was something like, you know, the melody goes, and at the end, it was just like a brand call out. I'll just give you an example. Pairs, glow akatum unga lakshanamana mugam. You know, something like that. And they asked me to just do it as a rough. And I was very conscious and I was actually hesitant to do it, saying that I've never done voiceovers before. And I asked them, is it something like pairs? And they were like, yes, exactly, that's what we want. And I happened to do it, and then I realized that, whoa, okay, I am able to do it. And since then, I've done quite a few voiceovers and also some dubs for characters and ads and some short films and films. And doing voiceovers, I actually absolutely enjoy doing voiceovers because each voiceover requires a different modulation. Sometimes it's a very corporate, you know, like a straightforward voiceover. Sometimes it's more like a character that you'll be speaking for, so it can't really be, it has to be very conversational. Sometimes it'll involve a laugh at the beginning, which makes it a challenge to do, but I think I've found it more fun as I've done more and more voiceovers. So yeah, that's how I got into it, and it's a lot of fun. I absolutely love doing voiceovers. And I've done it in multiple languages as well, so I think it gets more challenging with each language. But somehow I think I've had the luck and the advantage of grasping a language pretty fast when I do the voiceover. So I think the best part of doing voiceovers is that every recording is a surprise to your own self. Like, until you do that recording, or even when you're doing that recording, is when you realize that, oh, so this texture existed until now in my voice and I hadn't tapped into it. You know, you kind of get that realization, which is most often a pleasant surprise. So some of the brands that I've done voiceovers for include Lenskart, Tanishq, Tanera, which is again a Tata product, Tata Consultancy Services, Tata Soulful, which is a food and drink brand, which does a lot of healthy food products. Then there's TVS, there's also Kushal's Fashion Jewelry, Melora, which is again a jewelry brand, Clear Trip as well, Pears, the soap brand, Vim dishwashing liquid, Tata Sky.
Top three tips for home singers that want to actually venture out and actually play on their passion and take it to the next level. What would you tell them?
Yeah, okay, I have four. I feel like five, I'm already honestly doing like a, if you say three, I'm saying four.
Do it.
But I think the first one is what we've already touched upon. I think get your basics right. Not just basics. If you continue to keep having Carnatic, Hindustani, Western vocals, or whatever it is, even if it's like operatic singing that you want to train in, I think those skills go a long way. So find yourself a great guru that you can follow and, you know, imitate for a bit and then make it your own as well. I think that would be point number one. That paired with Riyaz, of course, Riyaz is practice that you should have to do at least for a couple of hours every day, which even I'm guilty of not doing, but that is one. Second thing, I think, is listen to a lot of artists. Like, if I had to even mention some, like, I love SPB Sir. You know, listen to your favorite artists, listen to global artists. Like, the recent trend in my playlist, at least on, you know, all of the platforms, has been I'm beginning to listen to a lot of K-pop and artists like Bruno Mars and Charlie Puth, and deconstructing Michael Jackson's vocals and his, like, you know, tracks.
I love Michael Jackson, Bruno Mars, Charlie Puth, all of those actually.
Yeah.
One of my favorite performers plus singers. Bruno Mars is just such a good performer.
Absolutely. And I really like all of them, not just for their vocal prowess, but also for their sound production, which brings me to the third point. So the second point was listen to your favorite artists, or listen to a lot of artists. Like, I love, as much as I love SPB sir, I love Hariharan sir, I love the Ghazals by Mehdi Hassan sir, right? and all these global artists as well. The third point is that I think it'll really help if every musician learns some amount of music production, which I actually wish that I had gotten into earlier, but I ventured into it recently, because then you can be your own comprehensive, like even if you want to start off with putting covers on social media, right? You don't really need anyone else to help you with it and waste your time waiting for someone else. If you know a level of music production that you just keep building on, you can produce your own tracks or at least put stuff out there. And learn some amount of instrumentation. Always have like an instrument to go with your singing, whether it's a tambura, a harmonium, a keyboard, guitar, and then music production as well.
Get your basics right, listen to a lot of artists, learn some of music production, and learn an instrument to go with it.
Yeah.
And who's your favorite singer? If you had to pick one in class, like...
I can't pick one. That's okay. Like,
pick five. Like... Give me five. Okay. English, Hindi, Tamil, everything.
Okay. SPB Sir, for sure.
And what do you like about SPB Sir?
His versatility. His versatility. And there's always a smile that he'll sneak into every song. And like, you know, he'll just be singing one line and then it's just a smile and you're like, there's SPB Sir. And it's just so much fun to listen to that. And he, whatever be the emotion, he's been able to more than just nail it. So he's such an absolute inspiration. And he's done quite a few songs across languages, which is another very inspiring thing, right? That. And Hariharan Sir for sure. Mehdi Hassan Sir, I love his voice. It's so soft yet it's so powerful. His ghazals, I love his ghazals. Fun fact is that Mehdi Hassan Sir was a huge inspiration and a guru for Hariharan Sir also.
Ooh.
So that. Shreya Ghoshal, of course,
she's
the queen.
So
I mean, she's rightly titled the queen. And one artist for global representation, if I had to say, Bruno Mars.
The question I want to ask you is, if you had one thing for the world to see on a banner, what gets you out of bed? What inspires you, right, that you would like to share with the world?
I don't know if it's something that inspires me, but of late I feel that I should live by this as well, and that's something that I'd like to tell people. Two things again, like, of course.
Yeah.
I think the first thing is life, and sorry if it sounds a little too philosophical, but it's been something that's been running in my head, that life and people are not as intense as you portray them to be. So it's okay to take it a little, like, you know, just sometimes see that, dude, it's not that deep. Just wing it a little. Just chill a little, you know. Not like you don't always have to chase something at, you know, 100 kilometer per hour speed. Sometimes it's okay to take your own pace and do what you want to be. Sometimes it's also okay to find magic in the mundane, you know. If your day has nothing filled, why not? Just be. That's one thing. The second thing is that I know a lot of people, at least in my generation, were like trying to figure out, oh, I don't know what is it that I want, what is it that I want. And I think it's absolutely okay if you don't know what it is that you don't want, what it is that you want. But I think it's very important that you know what it is that you
don't want
specifically. Like if you lead your life, or every stage of your life, it's led by not focused choice, but by focused elimination. Once I did accountancy, I was thinking, do I do chartered accountancy after that? And then I knew that that's something that I didn't want to do. Yeah, and BCom was, I think it's like a blip in the radar somehow. I don't know how I did that. But then after I did that, I realized that that's something that I don't want to do,
mm-hmm.
which kind of automatically propels you towards something that you invariably want to do.
Okay. I almost want to listen to the six
sheet. I will do the Kandarmari,
yes.
Yeah. A couple of lines, I hope and pray that I'm not messing the lyrics up. Okay. Kandarmari, Ninjalidi, Minnalira, Hangumingum, Ninavagavandada, Odiade, Yansevada.
Thank you, Johnny. Thanks for being a part of the show. I really feel like it left me with a lot of inspiration, and you're doing great work, and I hope you keep continuing to be in the theaters.
Thank you so much. And I think this was so fun, and this was the easiest podcast that I'm possibly ever going to record, and also my first one, so pardon me for any of the podcast noob behaviors that I had exhibited. It was so much fun, and I think you're doing a fantastic job with the podcast, although I've listened to about only 3-4, but I can say that it's a very very focused effort, and it feels like it's definitely getting to something bigger. So all the best for that as well.